This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Later in today's show, Howard Wilkinson talks with the new president of the Cincinnati chapter of the NAACP. But first, tomorrow marks the anniversary of the suicide of Emily Olson, the Fairfield Township teen who shot herself last year. A candlelight vigil is going to be held at the Community Christian Church on Milliken Road in Hamilton. Several news reports noted that bullying was a factor in her suicide. Bullying is a serious problem that affects students across the nation. According to StopBullying.gov, in a large national study, about 49% of children in grades 4 through 12 reported being bullied by other students. And here to talk about bullying, its harmful effects, warning signs, prevention, and intervention are Cincinnati Public Schools lead school psychologists Kathy Bauer and Audrey Kosten-Shelton. And you can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Kathy and Audrey, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
You know, that's so hard to believe. It runs about 49% nationally. And how does that compare with the extent of bullying that occurs locally?
Okay, typically, you know, we found the statistics to vary. We've seen it as low as 22% and as high as 33%. I think a lot has to do with, you know, when it's reported, you know, whether there are specific guidelines that define what is bullying. So, you know, the statistics do vary, but it's kind of nerve-wracking to see that it's 40-something percent.
Yeah, 49% is the
national
figure.
Yeah, that's pretty high.
Yeah. Kathy, how common is it for you to be dealing with cases of bullying in your role as a school psychologist?
Well, typically, if a child's bullied, we're called in. Our staff will be called in to help work with, you know, the victim. But really, it takes a whole school team to address instances of bullying. And the way we like to approach it in Cincinnati Public is kind of at a systems level. So we are heavily into positive behavioral interventions and supports, which is a kind of a nationally known framework for teaching children how you want them to behave in the school setting. And then bullying would fall underneath that umbrella. So it just fits very nicely within that. And basically, we're teaching children how they should behave. We're setting up that we don't tolerate harassing each other. You know, that's not something we do. And then children are corrected and retaught if that happens.
How do you typically find out about cases of bullying, Audrey? Do the kids self-report this?
Sometimes
or the teachers?
Kids self-report to teachers. I mean, we have like school psychologists, we have school social workers, school counselors. Many times they will go to that support staff and talk to them, or our teachers or administrators. Sometimes parents will actually contact school staff to find out, you know, is my child being bullied? And, you know, how will it be handled?
It's interesting that commonly bullying's underreported, and a couple reasons for that.
So that 49% figure that we heard could be on the low end.
That 49% is pretty high, but
okay.
You know, sometimes school personnel still persist with this attitude that, hey, it's part of growing up, and you know, kids will be kids, and that's absolutely wrong, and we don't tolerate harassing each other at any level. And then sometimes children hesitate to report. The victim feels like they might be shamed or embarrassed.
And then a lot of times children feel that, you know, if they tell a teacher, in fact, I think there was like 60% of kids who told teachers felt like nothing was done. And it's interesting to note also, though, that 70% of the teachers that were told about bullying felt that they had handled the situation adequately. So sometimes kids, like Kathy said, you know, they're afraid. They didn't want to be shamed. They didn't want to be humiliated. And they just, you know, they feel that they should be able to take up for themselves.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join us in our conversation. And Audrey, you started to touch on this. How is bullying defined?
Okay, bullying is harmful, repeated acts from one person or a group of people against one person or another group of person. And it's generally against kids who may be like socially marginalized, so to speak, or that are against kids who don't have the social power within the school setting. So there's a real power imbalance. You know, the bully has the power. The victim doesn't have the power. It's also intentional, you know. And that one of the key things, too, about bullying is that it's repeated. You know, aggression is something that happens once, you know. But bullying, it's repeated acts against a group or an individual student.
So how common is it for a child to be bullied on a regular basis?
To be bullied on a regular basis? I mean, you know, we'd have to look at the statistics. But usually, you know, from I think it's about mid-sixth grade on through about 11th grade, we see the numbers of kids who are reporting bullying. That increases. And then by 12th grade, it kind of goes down after that. So, you know, it just depends.
Kathy, how do you know, you were talking about kids being kids, how do you know when this crosses the line from kids being kids to bullying?
I'm not advocating kids being kids is a good thing.
That
was a non-example. So again, it's there can be a single incident, but like Audrey said, if it's a repeated pattern of intentional putting somebody down, harassing, it can be physical, threatening, physical harm, and now we have cyberbullying in the mix. So any of those things, but it needs to be intentional and repeated are key components.
Yeah, cyberbullying, that has to be a more difficult issue to deal with because you can do it from afar, you can mm-hmm. do it anonymously. How tough is it to deal with that?
Well, it's really tough because it doesn't usually happen on school grounds, for one thing. You know, it can happen at home. It happens anonymously. So kids who might not have done so otherwise can pop in there and, you know, create fake Facebook or Twitter pages. So it's a problem. It's hard to uncover, and it's easy to do.
Right. And now with all the smartphones that kids have, you know, there's so much that they can do online and anonymously that it's really hard to track.
So how can you counter cyberbullying? Is there a way?
Well, I mean, knowledge is power. If kids know that, you know, they're being cyberbullied, again, they need to take parents, you know, report it to parents, report it to teachers, so that steps can be taken in order to address the issue. I know in some cases, even law enforcement, like the SRO, may have to get involved.
The school resource officer?
Right,
yeah.
Uh-huh, okay. May have to get involved to address the issue of cyberbullying.
So there's cyberbullying. What are the other forms of bullying, of course?
Well, there's verbal.
Verbal, okay.
There's a relational bullying. Girls tend to do a lot of the relational bullying.
What does that mean exactly?
They interfere with somebody's relations, somebody's good standing. If you saw the movie Mean Girls, where, you know, there's this group of girls who are in the know, and then there's one girl who kind of sticks out, you kind of, you know, you have all the friends, that person's alone. So, you know, they work, girls more or usually use things like gossiping, spreading rumors, and they're not as physical as boys. So
that's the difference in genders, mm-hmm. the way boys and girls.
Yeah, boys are more physical. Boys are more verbally aggressive.
Who's the girls are more dealing more on the emotional mm-hmm. side. Then who's more likely to be a victim? Is it a boy or a girl or?
Well, currently, girls are at about 24% versus boys at 19%. So a slight edge to females are more likely to be the victim.
Are there certain age groups that are more likely to experience bullying?
Typically, I think it was
like the junior, sixth grade through
ninth grade.
Mm-hmm. Kind of a junior high age. And then it starts to taper off the further on you get into high school.
What causes kids to bully other kids?
Sometimes they've witnessed bullying, you know, they've been victims of bullying, so they decide they're going to be the bully. Sometimes in homes, you know, you have, you know, just domestic violence type situations, which is a bullying situation, and they've been involved in those type of things. Sometimes low self-esteem, you know, they want to make a name for themselves. So the way they make names for themselves is to bully someone who has lower social standing than they do.
And it's interestingly, sometimes it is the popular kid who seems to have all the social power, who likes to be the leader and in charge, mm-hmm. is the one who bullies. Right. So there's not a really clear-cut profile, but, bullies like that power. They like to have mm-hmm. that social power. And
they don't like to lose. They'll do anything to win.
How common is it to have the vicious cycle of the child who's bullied becomes a bully himself? How often does that happen?
I really can't quote you exactly how often that happens, but we do know in the research I know that I've done is that often happens, especially, you know, you might not be able to get at the big kid who's after you, you know, the bully who's bullying you, but maybe sometimes the victim has younger kids and they bully the younger kids because, again, they have lower social standing. But sometimes, you know, that's just a way that bullies evolve is through, you know, they may have been bullied, so they begin to bully others because emotionally it makes them feel better.
513-419-7100 to join our conversation. And let's talk with Elizabeth in Middletown. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi.
Go right ahead. You're on.
Okay. I just want to let you know that I was bullied as a child starting at age 5, and this was in the 60s. And that went on until I graduated from high school and moved away. But that led me to, I don't have any kids, but I've read a lot about it and interested in psychology and admire people going into early childhood education because they may be the first person, adult, to observe children that, like, I was lucky. I came from a two-parent home. But I don't think that's true with a lot of kids. And my basic point is that it's good that they're looking more, addressing this issue more in schools, but please take into consideration that a lot of these kids may come from homes where bullying is demonstrated by the adults in their home, and that's going to be very difficult for the school to compete with because that's not something a child is likely to talk about.
Thank you, Elizabeth. We appreciate it.
That's absolutely true. And so one of the mantras we kind of have in the school setting is we really can't control what happens in the home, but we can have some control over what happens in the school building. So in particular, positive behavior support systems help us teach children how to act in the school setting. So if bullying is tolerated in the home, they will certainly get the idea that bullying is not tolerated in the school. And we actually teach children how they interact with each other and how what's right to do and what's wrong to do.
So it's a matter of learning by example.
Right.
That's very important.
Right. I mean, we teach kids, you know, math. We teach kids reading. We teach kids writing. Why don't we teach kids, you know, what to do about their behavior or how to behave? So that's kind of like, you know, in line with the positive behavior supports. We teach them appropriate school behavior.
We will continue our conversation about bullying and ways to prevent it. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk@wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. We're talking about bullying, how to spot the signs of it, and how to prevent it with Cincinnati Public Schools lead school psychologist Kathy Bauer and Audrey Coast and Shelton. You can join our conversation at 513-419-7100 or by emailing talk@wvxu.org. Also, you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Kathy, how do you spot the signs? Other than witnessing the act of bullying itself, what are some telltale signs that a kid's been a victim of bullying?
Okay, well, a couple things. And disclaimer here, some of these things can also, you know,
be other things.
Okay. So this isn't a tried and true. But a child may come home with damaged items like books or clothing or electronics. There could be unexplained injuries. They could be hungry because they didn't eat lunch, moody or anxious. afraid to go to school. That a lot of times there's repeated trips to the school nurse. There might be headaches, stomach aches, feeling sick. There's usually kind of a school avoidance happens because kids are afraid to go to that setting where they're being bullied.
And Audrey, how does bullying affect the victims? What kind of impact does this have?
Well, for some victims, they end up dropping out of school. Again, you know, why go to school if I'm just going to be bullied? A lot of them, you know, if they do end up going, they're late because maybe that first period class is where the bully is. They do poorly in their coursework, because they're more focused on, am I going to get bullied today? They're isolated and they don't, you know, be around their friends. They tend to kind of self-select to be away from others because they don't want to be in a situation where they might be bullied.
513-419-7100 is the number to call if you'd like to join the conversation. And let's talk to Courtney in Eastgate. Good afternoon, Courtney.
Hi.
Go right ahead.
I just wanted to tell parents that I think it would be beneficial to them to tell their children that they're always allowed to stand up for themselves, regardless of the retaliation, because my parents did not tell me that, and I was always thinking that I would get in trouble with my parents versus the school, and kids were really cruel to me while I was in school. I actually had kids leave roadkill on my parents' doorstep. And I just think that if parents tell their kids that they're always allowed to stand up for themselves, that helps a lot.
Thanks, Courtney. We appreciate the call.
Yeah, Courtney, I'm sorry that happened to you.
Yeah.
And advice to parents out there. You know, first, you want to keep an open dialogue about everything. But I would start talking about bullying. This sometimes happens. Do you see it in your classroom? Let the children know it's okay to talk about, and encourage your children, if it ever happens to you, I want to know about it.
And then also that it's not their fault.
Right.
A lot of children feel that it's their fault. They've done something to attract the bully, and they need to know that it's not.
Yeah, other things parents can do, you know, if it's a more minor thing, then, you know, parents could role play. How do you stand up for yourself, as Courtney had mentioned? How can we role play where a student could say, you know, I don't like what you're saying, and I don't want you to do it anymore, and walk away. You know, how do they report to an adult? Those kinds of things. Obviously, if it escalates, there
right.
are other things you do, but.
She talked about standing up for herself, but I guess you want to emphasize that should always be done in a positive way, right?
Right.
Yes,
yeah.
Right. We're not talking about, you know, aggression, fighting, anything like that. We're talking about using the words, you know, I don't like this. Why are you doing this to me? I've had enough of this. Please stop, walking off.
Are there resources that parents and kids can use to help them learn how to deal with this issue?
Oh, there's a lot of resources, really. If you just Google online, you'll find just tons of resources out there for how to deal with bullying, both for parents and for school mm-hmm. systems.
Let's talk with Paul in Mount Auburn. Good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon.
Go right ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, thank you. I'm Dr. Paul Sohi from Mount Auburn, and my question is that this data that should be collected, it should be confidentially collected in school authorities because when such aggression by some students who are bullies and this can be used as a data if a federal agency or a law enforcement have to hire an individual, they can go back confidentially into this data to see, especially given the fact that the police and public interactions have been very violent in certain situations, and this could be just one step to avoid such violent interaction between the police and public in today's time.
Thank you for the call, Paul.
Yeah, again, keeping data is important, but I would emphasize again, the most important thing is prevention and having programs building-wide programs in place where we teach children what they should be doing. So we're being proactive. We're letting people know this is how you're supposed to behave. This is what we don't tolerate. And and role-playing and practicing those things and letting children know that it's okay to report when something does happen.
And the seriousness of bullies, teachers, school staff are mandated reporters of bullying, harassment, intimidation. So, you know, we need the data. We need to be able to look at that, see, you know, where the problems are so that we can plan, so that we can have programs such as Kathy mentioned, the positive behavior intervention support. You need that data. You need a baseline. You need to see where you are and, you know, how you want to eradicate the problem.
Yeah, for one thing that data is great for is sometimes you can't see the forest through the trees unless you look at your data. So typically, a lot of the bullying is done in like hallways and stairwells. So how would a building respond? Gosh, we would put adults there during those transition times to more closely supervise what's going on in those areas. So we wouldn't know that except for data.
513-419-7100 to join us. And Alan in Fairfield. Good afternoon, Alan.
Good afternoon. I wanted to make a couple comments. I'm 70 years old. When I went to elementary school, I was the son of a first-year immigrant. I went to a laboratory school for teachers, and this was in an affluent area. So all of the other kids in that classroom knew all of the nursery rhymes and all of the I before E except after C and all of that kind of stuff. I did not know that. The teachers did, in effect, bullied me by isolating me, and they assumed that I was going to be nothing more than, well, I shouldn't say nothing more, that I was going to, because I was talented with my hands, I was going to be a carpenter or something like that. Well, I graduated from, when I went to junior high school, wow, what a difference. The teachers, you know, they cared, and they were able to identify the fact that I had some brains. Along with that, my son, and I did not realize this until it was too late, but when he was in fifth grade, he was bullied not only by the children in his class, but this was supported by the two teachers that he had, in that he would do his homework, and when the teachers had a way of putting the homework in the kids would come in the class, put the homework in a basket. The kids were taking the homework, his homework, out of the basket and throwing it away. He had to repeat.
So he was getting in trouble for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
yeah.
He was getting in trouble for that.
And they, in addition to that, thought he was, once again, dumb. Now he happens to be a graduate. He happens to be an adjunct professor of English composition at Miami University. Now, so I'm not going to blame all the kids. I think if you're going to get to bullying, the teachers have to get involved with the students.
And that's why we have training for teachers.
Yeah,
teachers
that's
are required.
Teachers have to intervene.
Right.
Yeah.
They have to know. They have to understand that they have to intervene when they witness things like this. It's unfortunate.
It's the law, correct? They have to intervene, right? I mean, that's required.
Yes.
Right.
And another thing, I mean, this just points out how critically important adults are in the life of a child, particularly their teacher.
And it's important, you know, that teachers understand their own biases and get over those biases, because we're working. We want children to thrive. Again, our teachers, I know in Cincinnati Public School, are well-trained, you know, on what bullying is, how to report bullying, all those issues associated with bullying. So hopefully, you know, situations like that happened to your child won't be happening again for another child.
Let's talk with Don in Dayton. Good afternoon, Don.
Yeah, hi. Interesting program today. I'm wanting to make one comment, and it keys on one of the comments that one of your guests made, and that was that, well, you know, there could be the big kid doing the bullying. As a former big kid, I was very tall.
And I think what Audrey is talking about was that it's usually based on power.
Power,
right.
Not size.
Not size necessarily, but go ahead, Don.
Well, going to this, to the size thing, because this was my experience, was that bullies will frequently learn that teachers and other adults will always blame the big kid, if particularly when there's physical bullying involved. And they'll point the finger at the big kid and say, he did it. And the teachers will believe it. And that's something that I think teachers and other adults have to be aware of when they're dealing with bullying situations.
Don't always assume it's the larger
right.
kid. Yeah.
Always assume that it's the tall, strong kid, because actually, in my experience, the tall, strong kids usually are not the bullies, because they don't have anything to prove. Some kid with something to prove, and frequently a smart kid who has the intelligence to see, okay, I can smack this kid, then point my finger at the big guy, and the teacher will always believe that it was him.
Well, this brings up a point that bullies are usually smart enough to commit the harassment outside of the view of an adult. So adults don't necessarily see the bullying. It takes some investigation. So, yeah, they can't assume it's the big kid or, XYZ kid. They really have to be in touch with their class and mm-hmm. investigate and get to the bottom of it.
We have about 30 seconds left here. Can you give advice to kids who know they've got a friend who's being bullied? How should they handle that?
They can report it to their parents. They can report it to their teachers. I'm concerned about so-and-so. He's being bullied. What should I do? One of the things, and we didn't get to talk about this, but bystanders. A lot of bystanders of bullying eventually or sometimes get the PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome, because they feel like they failed to help their friend. But if we teach kids that as a bystander, they can intervene, but they can also, talk to parents, talk to teachers, talk to administrators. I'm concerned. Can you do something about this?
Kathy and Audrey, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you.
Cincinnati Public Schools lead school psychologist Kathy Bauer and Audrey Coaston Shelton. Next up, we'll hear from the new president of the NAACP Cincinnati chapter. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.